How we understand ourselves in the world and who we are is a constant feedback loop of what we know about ourselves and people's reaction to us and our behavior. So it's no wonder that I thought people expected me to act or behave a certain way with news of the war. I'd set myself aside as Ukrainian for years. Welcome to episode 1 of Generation Removed, The Art of Belonging. I'm Larissa Sebrick. There's a quote I came across in my research about diaspora and identity. To be diasporic means to be uprooted from one's home, one's place, and to be perpetually searching for both. Perpetually searching. I've always been Ukrainian, but I've always felt like I'm one step on the other side of belonging. It's like, with every generation that's born, we get further and further from that home, in the quote. Traditions fade, language is lost. The pilgrimages back to the homeland, if they're even possible, stop. Those heritage ties get worn down until they're threadbare like an old pair of socks. Rather than fourth generation, which implies being a part of something, I feel like I should be fourth removed, one of those last threads that's hardly attached to anything at all. But at the same time, in culture and identity psychology, there's also the notion of shaping your own identity, which is what Andrew Miles believed. That we can consciously shape our identities through active information seeking and skill learning. Basically, the more you dive into an identity and a culture that resonates with you, the more you ingrain it into your core identity and behave accordingly. Kind of like putting a patch over a hole or fortifying a row of stitches. For example, someone of Ukrainian heritage who, upon hearing about the war, begins to explore their culture more deeply to ingrain their Ukrainianness into who they are. So why do I get the proverbial ick when I extend further into my heritage background?
The thought that keeps going on in my head is, because my field is primarily psychology, social psychology. And social psychology, so much of it is about our thoughts and our emotions and our behaviors in the presence of real or imagined other people. Right. And so a lot of our social behaviors are about imagination, are about our own perception and our own construal of what the world means and what the world looks like.
That's Ben Cheung, a cultural psychologist at the University of British Columbia. He studies diaspora. We started this conversation over a year ago when I first started asking questions about how I relate to my heritage.
This is why I said earlier on, we're very adept at making meaning out of virtually anything if we wanted to. And so I have no doubt that there's a certain level of overclaiming of identity. Not to say that that's a bad thing or a good thing. I think that's just, it's a thing that happens. And I think that might be, you know, the people that you're talking about who are trying to be more sort of cautious about claiming identity. That might be what they're wary of, because they might have seen within their own environment people who are doing all of these things. So in the wake of the war in Ukraine, they see that there are other people who are in their orbit who are doing all these things, almost seeming to exaggeratedly try to learn Ukrainian, try to make Ukrainian food, and try to do all these Ukrainian things and things like that. That might actually be turning them off, because they're thinking, you have not once in your life talked about the fact that you have Ukrainian ancestry, and now suddenly you're like jumping into the deep end of the pool. Feels disingenuous, feels inauthentic. And I think that might be what's also triggering them to really reconsider how are they engaging with that identity.
Disingenuous. That rang a bell for me. And it turned out I wasn't alone in feeling that way. I met Elliot in the first year of our undergraduate degrees at McGill. I'm not sure if I knew he was Ukrainian, but when I put out the call to interview people, he was someone who answered.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I see Canadians who have no Ukrainian affiliation get worked up more than I do, care more than I do. And I think there is kind of like a little like guilt in that, for sure. It's like, I probably should do something, but like, I also feel like if I do something and then I start going like rah 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 like Ukrainians, like, okay, where were you? Like, you're just kind of doing this for like sympathy, like you're not actually Ukrainian. It's tough to balance, right?
Yeah, because then you worry that it becomes like performative and fake, like it's an overcompensation to kind of make a point, and then it's like, well, how far are you willing to go for that part of your culture, and like, why not?
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I don't want to seem like, oh, now because there's a war, you're super Ukrainian, and like you're just using this to like kind of, I don't know, gain clout, versus like I want to like care more, because it is like I want to connect. Like, that's the hard part. It's like I want to connect with that culture, right? Like, that's a big part of my family, who I am, and like who my grandparents were. But like, you know, if I start all of a sudden going full Ukrainian now, it's like inopportune timing, because, but it's like you want to, because they're in the conflict, but
yeah,
same time you don't.
I loved my conversation with Elliot. It was nice to catch up with an old friend, and it was really cool to get a deeper, more thoughtful part of who he is. Plus, he's someone I could actually talk to about how I was feeling, because he was relating to it in ways that I hadn't really been able to put into words. I could just bounce questions off of him, and he was so honest and unshakable in what he needs from himself to be okay with things. Listening back, though, what struck me the most was that he'd actually felt what we feel about being Ukrainian. That whole not relating but knowing you're connected thing. But he felt it about being Canadian. And now being Canadian is core to who he is. Elliot is someone who's been in that state of forever searching. And he found what he was looking for. So maybe Miles's theory was right.
If I was to connect to the culture, I'd really want to, like, you know, be part of that and, like, understand it. But I just don't have the drive. Crazy to say, I feel guilty saying it, but, like, I've never, like, fully had the drive to connect with the culture. Not saying I wouldn't want to, like, it would be fun, I would learn a lot, but like, it's hard to like kind of say that.
Yeah, know. I totally understand that feeling though, and like,
yeah
like we were saying, it kind of takes drive and community. Like, if you get your sense of belonging from some other part of you, then it's not as important to find it in this. And then especially in a time of conflict where it's like, well, now I'm just pretending for the sake of this and for the sake of like other people's impressions of me.
Exactly. And like I think you said perfectly, like I found myself a belonging, and like I'm super proud to be Canadian. That's something that I didn't move to Canada. I was born in Montreal, but I didn't move here until, you know, first year of university. And like, I never really felt American. And so maybe if I like never came to Canada, like I would feel like I needed to explore my Ukrainian side more, because like, but when I came to Canada, I felt like being Canadian and French is like that I really feel is my identity. And like, I think coming to Canada, I really connected with this culture. I loved it here, and like, I just didn't want to leave, and I didn't. But I think that really filled kind of, that was more important for me to understand where I'm coming from. Because a little background, when I was in high school, I was born in Canada, I Canadian passport, I was the Canadian, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess I felt the same way I felt about Ukraine. Now, when I was in, I didn't associate with the Canadian culture at all. I'd been there for 2 years of my life, mm-hmm. as like a toddler, a 0 to 2 year old. So, you know, everyone be like, oh, like Canada, maple syrup, you know, they make all the jokes and stuff. And I just like, I didn't feel the need. Got into McGill. And then like one thing led to another, and now I'm just like, I love it here. I love this culture. I've done a lot to learn about it and stuff. So who to say, if you put me in Ukraine for a year, if someone like forced me to go to Ukraine, that's outside of a war and conflict, I would say. Like if I, like 10 years ago, if I decided to go to university in Ukraine, this would probably be a very different discussion, right? Like, mm-hmm. I would have probably fell in love with the Ukrainian culture, connected with the people, because that is my, like, I am from there to some degree. Mm-hmm. Same way I felt about Canada before going to Canada. I was born here, but didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And like quickly fell in love, right? And like now it's like an unshakable part of my culture. So who's to say that wouldn't have happened if I went to Ukraine instead?
When I think about it more, it makes me feel a little hopeful in a way. Like maybe my heritage is something I might relate to genuinely one day. But it doesn't have to happen because of the war. To answer the question about whether they can be a one day, I had a very special conversation. One I didn't really expect to have. I'd like to introduce you to Alice.
Well, my name is Alice Mucha. I was Trotsky before I was married. My heritage is, of course, Ukrainian.
I think I started losing my heritage before I was even born. Maybe the moment your ancestor leaves their country, your heritage land and your culture starts leaving you. Like how my grandpa on my mom's side is called Grandpa instead of Guido, because he married a Scottish woman. I only ever knew he was Ukrainian through stories and through pierogi making. But for all of the culture that I lack, Alice has it tenfold. Her kids still speak Ukrainian, as does she. They help bring Ukrainian refugees to Edmonton. They dance shumka, which is Ukrainian dancing, and they feast on the 12 dishes of Christmas every January 6th. She even holds mandolin sessions in her garage every Wednesday where they rehearse Ukrainian folk music. All of this was interesting to me because Alice is my grandpa's cousin, and they spent a lot of time together on the farm he grew up on. As we reconnected, I was curious about how two sides of one family could branch off so drastically when it comes to culture, and I wanted to know what she thought of me not feeling Ukrainian anymore because of it.
So you've always been very Ukrainian. You've always felt very connected to your culture and your heritage and your homeland.
Yeah.
I'm someone who is quite removed from it. So I make perehe, I have pisanka in the house. We used to go to church, but I didn't learn the language. I didn't Ukrainian dance. And so when all of this started, I was kind of torn on how I felt, like if I was really Ukrainian even.
Yeah.
What would you have to say to someone who's feeling that way?
There's still time. You can always learn it. You can. There's so much online books. Get involved. It's hard to learn the language, but one thing about the language, it is very easy to read because we have, in Ukrainian, we have 36 letters in the alphabet. Whereas the English is, what, 26? So there is a, for example, there's a one letter just for the thing, S-C-H. There's a one letter. It's called Sch. And so if you were to learn Ukrainian to read, it would be very easy. There's a lot of literature out there. If you want to know more about dance and that, I'm sure that you can get that online as well. You can see them, and you'd be so proud to say, I'm Ukrainian, you know?
Mm.
I have a thing in my garage that says, parking for Ukrainians only. But you can immerse yourself if you want to. It's never too late. If you feel it, I mean, you're halfway there anyway. You make the food, and that's important, you know, because there's recipe books out there, and you immerse yourself that way, and everybody loves Ukrainian food, let's face it. So that's one way of doing it.
There's still time. Alice's easy invite and enthusiasm makes me smile. I get to decide what's enough. And for me, maybe that's pierogies in the Cyrillic alphabet. But does that type of enough still apply during a war? In the next episode, I'll dive into how guilt is a familiar feeling for members of diaspora, but for some surprisingly different reasons. We'll hear more from my friend Elliot, as well as see Ben in a brand new light. I'm Larissa Sepik, and you've been listening to Generation Removed.